Five,
four,
three,
two,
one. We're getting pretty good at that, the counting part.
Yeah. I do the even numbers.
That's right. You always do the even numbers.
Yeah.
And I do the odd ones.
Right.
For the folks at home, that's a little look behind the curtain. That's how we sync this up. I record here, Adam records there. We don't record the Skype conversation.
Right.
Yeah. I don't even know why we use Skype anymore, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Since we could probably just use FaceTime audio.
Okay.
Here we are, though. Who says we're not interesting? Hello and welcome to episode 297 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is
Adam in Vancouver.
Vancouver. We do the weather all the time. But has it gotten better?
Yeah. Well, today it's nice. So okay, there you go.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
What's going on, Adam? You know what's going on?
Mm.
Amazon.
Right.
I had to go and do some... I had to fill out some forms on Amazon yesterday.
Okay.
They asked me, I don't really understand why they do this, but they asked me to fill out some tax information every year. And then at the end it says, hey, let us know if this changes. Do you agree? And I say, yes, I will let you know if it changes. And then nothing changes. And then the next year they send me, hey, I got to fill this out. But nothing changed.
Right.
I'm not complaining. I'm just giving you a heads up. So what that means is people are buying stuff on Amazon and clicking through our site, and we appreciate it.
Sweet.
I bought some stuff.
Okay.
Never owned a bathroom scale, so bought a bathroom scale.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well,
that's not good.
I just want to monitor my eating disorder. Don't laugh. People have eating disorders, Adam.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was more laughing at you.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have.
I'm not a believer in the bathroom scale. Not a believer at all. No, we have one. It sits under the bed most of the time. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, once every 6 months, my kids drag it out to see if they've grown. That's mm-hmm. one measure of them. They want to know how many pounds am I, Daddy?
Yeah, we do kilograms here.
Yeah, we do stones actually here.
Yeah, well, this is a digital scale, so it'll do all three.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's handy. It really does stones. I don't know why.
Does it really?
Yeah, it does.
How many stones are you?
I don't know. I didn't use it. I didn't use the stones one. So
I was kidding, but that's awesome. Yeah. I want to scale only in stones.
Yeah. Okay. That wasn't all I bought, though. I also bought a soldering iron.
Okay.
Because I decided...
Doing some electrical work?
I tried to do a little bit of soldering, and I bought my son a remote control car.
Oh, yeah.
Just a cheap one, though, because he got rid of his soother a while ago, and I said, I'll tell you what, buddy, for that, like, completely got rid of it for sleeping and everything. So I said, all right, I can get you a present. What do you want? He wants a car.
Yeah.
So I got him, you know what? I'm going to get him a remote control car, because he's two. He can figure that out, right?
Yeah, sure.
Not really. He does love it. He just thinks it's the greatest thing. So I bought one. They're about $10. And so I figured the lifespan would be about 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Didn't make it 6 days.
Oh, no.
So I thought, oh, no. And then so I think the antenna got ripped off of the car. So I thought, oh, I'll put this back on. I don't have a soldering iron. It's nice to have a soldering iron.
Sure.
Do you have one?
No.
Okay, there you go. I'm a fan of having that, you know, just for that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, the whole soldering iron and solder, you have to buy solder for it as well. It's about $30 on Amazon for a $10 car, which I then fixed, and it still doesn't work. So there's more to it than just the antenna has come off.
Right. So now new car, right? You need to get another car.
Yeah, I'm going to get him another car.
Maybe something a little bit more durable.
Yeah, now that I know he loves it so much, I think I'll do that. I think I just went cheap tripod on my kid,
mm-hmm.
and ended up buying two tripods, which was stupid. That wasn't, well, you know, I didn't, I like I said, I figured 6 to 8 weeks. he'd smash it up, and that would be that. No, 4 days.
In other remote control car news, we've been taking ours out again, and
I haven't heard about it for a while. So
well, yeah, I mean it's not that interesting, but yeah, we took it to the skate park a few days ago, and mm-hmm. Jack likes to shoot it off ramps and stuff. So ours is pretty durable. I haven't had to fix a part in quite some time, so I like that. I like that. But ours, at the beginning, we did have to replace lots of parts. Fortunately, the kind of remote control car we bought, which was more like instead of $10, like $250, mm-hmm. you can pretty much buy individual parts on Amazon quite easily. So that makes it easier. You break something, you replace it.
Yeah, when my son gets a little bit older than two, he'll be getting mm-hmm. a real car. But
yeah, I think Jack got his at around five. Yeah. Which I think a lot of people said that was too early for this kind of thing, but nope, now he's quite an expert at driving. So I like that. Yeah.
Good. What's going on, Adam, besides Amazon stuff?
Made a shirt. Well, we'll see. It's not here yet, but I designed a shirt.
Okay.
For an upcoming holiday. At some point this year, I'm not going to exactly say when, but we're going to go to Disneyland this year. So I thought one of the things that I like to do is make sort of a family shirt, make a family Disney t-shirt. So yeah, I have Photoshop. I basically, the kids pick their characters. Who do you want to be? And Jack wanted to be Pluto. And Sarah wanted to be Minnie. And so I basically, you know, with the magic of Photoshop, I put their faces on the characters. And then I sort of lined them up in a row. And I was Mickey. And Mommy ended up wanting to be Daisy. And then I basically just orchestrate a picture of the family with faces Photoshopped onto Disney characters. And then I laid a little castle in the background and just, you know, 2016. And then I decided in the past I used to kind of buy the t-shirt transfers mm-hmm. and, you know, print it at home on an inkjet printer.
And they break faster than my son's remote control car.
Yeah. And that, plus it's a gigantic hassle for anybody who's done that. It's a huge hassle trying to center the image and blah, 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 and use these t-shirt transfers. And it's a whole ordeal. And so I decided, I think I'm going to go a different route. That plus I don't actually have an inkjet printer. I have a black and white laser printer is what I have now. Mm-hmm. And so there's just like, all right, well, I'm not going to bother going that route and asking a friend if I can use their inkjet printer or blah, blah, blah. So what I ended up doing is going online and looking for, you know, places that would print t-shirts and, mm-hmm. you know, it's the full deal. And I didn't want to, like, this is a shirt that the kids are going to wear for a couple days at Disneyland. Right. So I didn't want to break the bank and spend $30 a shirt, especially when they're going to probably get 3 days of wear out of it. And then I'm going to use it as a pajama shirt. So I went on and I think I'd mentioned this company before, but it's a Canadian one, and I've bought calendars from them before, and they're not a sponsor or anything, but Vistaprint, which I think has a .com and a .ca, mm-hmm. and I went on their site, and I've been happy with their printing products, and their prices are very reasonable, and shipping and all of that. So I went on there, and I saw, okay, they do t-shirts, and they do, you know, your wife is probably like my wife in that they don't want a big, boxy, regular t-shirt like I might wear. They want kind of, you know, more the female kind of a little bit more fitted ones. And I wanted to find a site where I could do all of them. And again, they had kids sizes. And so they had a women's style t-shirt and then the regular different kinds of men's t-shirts. And then they had kids sizes. So I just basically said, okay, well, they've got everything I need. And the price was very reasonable. I think all in for four shirts, so two adult, two kids size t-shirts, printed, delivered, everything, $42 all in with tax. So I was like, wow, this is fantastic. So I haven't received them yet. I just ordered them the other day. So I'll get, but I mean, based on Vistaprint and previous experiences, I can't imagine it not being good.
I was going to say, if it's under 100, you're laughing.
Oh, $40 with delivery.
Get out of here.
I think, yeah, they had some, I mean, I don't know. They always have sales on that site, but I think the shirt that I ordered, like just a regular men's t-shirt, was like $7.50 marked down from like $12 or something. And her t-shirt was the most expensive one at like $10.50, and the kids' ones were on sale for $7.50. So, and then add whatever $10 for shipping, all in taxes, and I think it was $42. Wow. So I mean, if they're good, and I mean, even if they aren't good, before I would have had to go to, you know, Old Navy or something and get, well, something and get four shirts, and already there's no way I'm going to be under $40 just with the t-shirts, and then add in the extra hassle of all that other stuff I mentioned. And
oh, you're going to have to buy a Cinnabon.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. If you're at the mall.
No choice.
Yeah. So anyways, I think this is the way to go if anyone has any plans of doing this. And I don't know, I can post the picture, like the sort of picture that I made. And I know, like, nothing says Disney on it, but clearly I'm using Disney characters, mm-hmm. but with faces overlaid. And I know sometimes, like, I don't know, Facebook or anything, if they're finicky about posting stuff with Disney likeness. Even though nothing says Disney, nothing branded, but clearly it's the body of Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and Pluto. So I don't know. I post it, and if it gets taken down, then so be it, I guess.
Why don't you wait until the shirts come, take a picture of the shirts?
Oh, picture of the shirt. Yeah. Well, nothing came from a Disney site.
Right.
You know what I understand. What I mean?
So I don't know if it's
flag or not.
No, but I want to see. I don't forget the flagging part. I just want to see the shirt.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm looking forward to the shirt.
I will take a picture of the shirt. There you go. And post it on Facebook.
Hey, guess what?
What?
There is a Yong Nuo 35 mil for Canon.
I know. I looked it up.
It looks flimsy though.
It does. And that's the kind of feedback that most of the reviewers say is mm-hmm. that it looks basically just like the Nifty 50 Canon 1.8, you know, $100 lens.
Yeah.
It looks almost exactly like it. And it's crazy light, people say. But from all accounts and what I've read is the image quality is great. And how can you beat that price?
Well, that one's, I think, $125
yeah.
versus the $95 for whatever reason.
For the 50 mil.
For the Nikon.
Oh, okay.
I think the Nikon 35 by Yong Nuo, I think it was around $95.
Okay, okay, okay.
And it looked bulletproof to me. Like it didn't look as flimsy.
Okay.
Maybe it could just be the magic of the internet that I don't know. I've done that with Airbnb before. It looked great on Airbnb, and then you get there and it's a tent. And so it wasn't even my Airbnb. I was just piggybacking. So but it didn't look as good as I
basically already made the recommendation to, I think, two different people. Go buy it.
For Canon or the Nikon?
For Canon.
Okay.
Yeah, just I don't know any Nikon shooters. Really.
You said the 35 you recommended?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mostly because, I can't see how, for that price, it would be a waste of money.
No, it would be like my son's car. I mean, if you get a year out of it, you're laughing, really.
Well, and I had that 50 millimeter plastic light piece of, you know what, from Canon, and the pictures are fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not, doesn't have the autofocusing speed, and it feels like it came out of a vending machine, but it is, it produced great image quality, especially for portraits. So I just think that for the price, I mean, there's, what can you compare it to? Nothing that's, anything that will do that. The capabilities of that lens is three times the price.
Oh, at least. Right? Like, I mean, I paid brand new. I paid $500 for my Sigma 30 mil.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I just think that this is one of those situations where the compromise is in build quality, but I don't think that, and probably a little bit of sharpness, but I don't think it's going to be a noticeable loss in quality for the huge, you know, and I mean quality in terms of picture quality, mm-hmm. in terms of the huge price gap there.
And I think if you were to throw that on one of like the lighter, you know, X-T27s, whatever they're on now, the T7i, whatever those.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Light, yeah, the APS-C kind of crop Canon cameras, yeah.
If you throw one of those onto that, you don't even need a strap. That thing's just, I don't think gravity will affect that camera.
Yeah.
It'll just hover in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I and again, I think that's a great little kit rather than as a walk-around camera. Now mm-hmm. you're looking at, you know, roughly a 50 millimeter equivalent walk-around camera. Just fantastic.
Yes.
And like you say, weighs nothing.
Do it,
yeah. I might buy one, yeah.
Speaking of Sigma, they introduced some cinema lenses this week.
Okay.
No price yet, but they look really, really good.
Okay.
The only downside is I already have two cinema lenses that I love. And the Sigmas look better. Like I have the Rokinon / Wallamex, depending on what continent you live on. They're called different things. Love those lenses. Use them all the time for film and whatnot, but video. But the Sigma ones look really fantastic. So I wonder. I haven't, like I said, they haven't published a price yet. So looking forward to figuring out what those are going to be. iPhone 7.
Yes.
Do you care?
No.
Me neither. However, there's a lot of controversy going on.
Okay, well, let me hear it. I have paid zero attention to it other than the fact that I knew that it was out.
They piped the headphone jack. Gone.
Really?
No headphone jack. Yeah, you plug
your... everybody's got Bluetooth or...
Well, that's the thing is they're saying you plug it in with the Lightning connector is the new headphone
jack. For your headphones?
Yeah. And so it comes with a Lightning connector to headphone jack adapter, but they want you to buy, I guess Apple must make Lightning connector headphones.
Gotcha.
I don't really care because I don't have an iPhone, not going to get an iPhone, but my question is, can you charge and listen at the same time? That's what I'm wondering. I don't know if that's a thing because there's times when you want to do that. Maybe you're on an airplane on a long flight and you ran through it. So you want to charge it with your in-seat charger, which is very, very common nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you can do that or not. I don't know if we have the splitter.
Right.
So,
and if not, that'll be coming. But I think there's also probably, a sort of a belief that, everyone's just going to have Bluetooth headphones anyway. So,
which they sell.
Yeah.
They I think they're selling some new, I think Apple is selling some new Bluetooth headphones as well. But in the end, I think Apple knows what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do.
They remember when they got rid of the floppy drive and people couldn't believe it? Yep. And then they got rid of the DVD player and reader / burner and people freaked out. You don't need it.
Right.
They're going in the right direction. So, the cool thing was is they have two cameras. It has two cameras on there, like two rear cameras.
Okay.
So one wide angle, one telephoto, and then it does some sort of a weird thing to do depth. It simulates depth of field or something like that. But I just thought it was kind of funny that they're going to kind of an old technology. Because like when you were shooting 16 mil film, whether it's like on a smaller camera, like the Arri S or the old Bolex, you would have a turret. You must have seen pictures of these, like an old Bolex film camera, like a movie camera.
Mm-hmm.
And has like a turret, three lenses on the front that you want to switch lenses, rotate it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of what Apple's doing, except electronically. They'll have two, and you can switch between the two. So that's kind of cool.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I've been reading more and more about these crazy compact cameras that are out there.
Okay.
Sort of pro-level type compact cameras. And wow, are they awesome. I can't pull the trigger because of the price. I think I'm just going to keep... trolling Craigslist until I find something that suits me. But I was a little bit off when I was saying that there are sort of 1.8 to 4.0. most of them, the nicer ones, the Canon's got a G7X Mark II, Sony's got the RX100, I think they're on Mark IV, and then there's Panasonic's got a nice one. They're mostly 1.8 to 2.8. And they're sort of zoom type 24. One of them's like a 24 to 85. One of them's a 24 to 70. But with the range and with how fast they are and with the shooting modes, they have built-in ND filters, most of them, mm-hmm. at that level. And so, yeah, you can shoot wide open during the daytime. And the movie modes look ridiculous. Some of them will shoot in 4K. The newer Sony one will shoot 4K. I think the Panasonic one will as well. Maybe the Canon too. I mean, they look amazing and they fit in the little pocket of your palm. Like mm-hmm. literally can rest in the palm of your hand. With all these capabilities, I'm like, they're pretty awesome. Some of them have viewfinders, some of them don't. The price tag still is the stumbling block, the $1,000 or $1,200 price tag. I mean, what they will do, and with the kind of lenses they're putting in there and the quality of the lens from what I read, it's like, well, how can you make it cheaper than that? But mm-hmm. Still thinking, do I really need it? most of the time, it isn't that big of a hassle for me to just, when I want photos. If I want a nice portrait, I'm probably just going to use the SLR anyway. So, it's a want, not a need.
Dear Santa.
Yeah, but even that, I'm like, really? Can $1,000, anyone spending $1,000 mm-hmm. on that for me, it's going to not get used as much as I would like anyways, I think. That's my problem.
That's a lot of lap dances.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyways.
Fuji has a line of black and white film for their fake Polaroid.
Okay.
How does Sarah like hers? She's had it for what, 9 months?
She loves it. Yeah. Yeah, she loves
it. Still
uses
it? She loves it.
She still uses it, like, on an occasion. Like, she's kind of now, like, wants to save the films. Like, she mm-hmm. doesn't just take it out willy-nilly, but if there's something going on, like, she's got a little album of lots of different pictures, and I still think she might have, because we've gone through all the film, we've bought more film, so I don't know. She's gone through maybe 6 rolls of the film, so mm-hmm. she probably has 70-odd pictures, and she has a, Lisa bought her off Amazon. Another word for Amazon, bought her like a little scrapbook that just has it sized for those little Polaroids. So okay. She's got a whole album of it. And yeah, she loves that thing.
I love that idea. I mean, my daughter's still too young for that, but we have set up like a bulletin board in each of my kids' rooms where they, like my pictures I take of her and her friends and then print out on her printer and just pin them up on the wall.
Yeah.
So I love that. As she gets a little bit older, I'm going to get her one of these, assuming they're still cool again. That's such a great thing. But now I just saw that they have like the black and white film for it. So perhaps your daughter will like that sort of.
Yeah, that's cool. I haven't seen that.
Artistic.
So. Yeah. Artistic. And they even have a wide angle camera version of this as well.
Oh, really?
So. Yeah, they do. Yeah. But it's a whole different camera, and it takes whole different films. So we haven't gone that route. We're quite happy with what we have. So she loves it. And I'd say she takes it out every couple of weeks.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe we'll have her on the show, and she can tell us what she likes about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Except her she'll lose interest after 60 seconds.
Yeah, maybe you get 2 minutes out of her. Although she does like to talk, so you might get 20 minutes out of her.
Yeah, could do. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Did I? No, just that Photoshopping.
If you have
ordeal.
To think, then no.
Well, I did work on photos, but it was I used photos that I'd previously taken mm-hmm. to do my image. So I don't think I took anything. Oh no, that's not true. I took one photo. My daughter, here's something interesting. It's not exactly photography related, but just think back to when you were a kid. If anything mattered to you this much.
When okay? I was nine.
Nine. She's nine. Okay. So one day I was looking up on Netflix, just, you know, kid-friendly movies because they wanted to watch something, or my daughter did specifically. And so
E.T.
Kid-friendly movies on Netflix. Anyways, so what popped up in the list, and maybe you've seen this, is a documentary. Probably not because it's about dance, but it's called First Position. It was made in 2011,
okay.
And it's basically about the best ballet kid dancers in the world go to this competition in New York, and it's, you know, anywhere from, I think the age range is 9 to like 17, so some of them are trying to get scholarships, some are just trying to win competitions because they're too young, and some of them are actually doing job auditions, so they have all the best ballet schools in the world come to this final, so I think they start with like regional competitions, and then this is the world championship, so again, best ballet dancers in the world, and they've picked whatever 5 or 6 in the movie kids to follow from different backgrounds, sort of, you know, people had unique or interesting stories, but were obviously very, very strong. Like they weren't going to follow kids that weren't going to be in the mix at the end, right?
Right.
So this is the movie, and I watched it with Lisa because I didn't know, you know, at first, like if it'd be something Sarah was into. I watched the movie, found it really fascinating, and said, okay, Sarah, you know, here's a movie that you should check out. Well, she loved it. Because again, Sarah's into dance and ballet, and she does this competitively. She loved it so much that the next day, like they do in ballet, they dance on point. Do you know what that is?
Sure, on their tippy toes.
As they As they get older, no, they have special shoes though. Like they wear point shoes. Now Sarah's age and her studio, she's too young. They don't like it for their feet development, all this on the toes. And again, it's a hard-ended shoe. And if you look up point shoes for anyone who cares, you'll see that they're a very specific type of ballet shoe. Okay. So Sarah doesn't have these and she's not allowed to have them for 3 more years because they want their feet to develop a little bit more, right?
Right.
So anyways, so she saw again some of these older girls in this using point and point. The next day, she spent the entirety of the day making out of cardboard a pair of point shoes. Like, I swear it must have taken her 5 or 6 hours. And she did this by herself, basically with cardboard boxes. She cut them to size of her feet, and then she used duct tape and she taped them, and they actually look like point shoes made out of cardboard. Of course, they fit her feet. She used Velcro to sort of fix them on.
Wow.
So they got the straps that go across the top. I was so impressed at just when she started doing it, you know, like any parent, you want to encourage it. You're like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my God, there's no way. Like I get no way that either this gets finished or B, it looks like anything.
And C, there's going to be a fire.
Yeah. So anyway, so she spent the rest of the day working on this, and she went to daycare for a couple hours while we were at work and worked on it even more. This was prior to just school starting, and came back and showed me the next day. My jaw dropped. Like, I was so impressed. So I did take this is a long way to get around. If I took a picture of these cardboard dance shoes, and then I did take a picture of her feet up on point in the shoes so that it would be sort of, okay, here's what they are for. And the fact that they actually fit on her feet and she could use them. And so there was the long way of saying I took one photo or two photos of something interesting.
Well, post that.
I have to.
Put it in the Dropbox. We'll include it for this week's episode.
Okay, will do. As soon as we finish, I will
I'm
do that.
I'm interested in seeing that. Awesome.
Yeah. There you go.
We had some nice a nice evening, sort of late afternoon. Well, I guess, you know, evening ends pretty early now. It's getting to the bad time, right? Mid-September. Yeah. And so we had a nice late afternoon sort of light at the playground on one day. So I knew I anticipated this coming because there was that light sort of in and out hazy overcast on a sunny day. Like a sunny day, but there's a kind of wispy clouds coming in and out. So I knew we'd get, you know, a little breakup, a little softbox action, and yet still get good colors. So I threw the 5D Classic, kind of the go-to, but I grabbed the 70-200 this week just because I haven't shot with it in a while. Oh, great, let's do that. So I thought, great. And so got a couple nice pictures, and I decided to post one of my son getting ready to take a rip at the ball, baseball.
Okay, baseball, yeah.
Yeah, so there he is, eye on the ball. I was pretty proud of him because he was keeping his eye on the ball.
Okay.
Yeah, so I also like the lighting here. Nice little sort of three-quarter backlight. You see the rim around his on his back. Separates him from the background, and yet we still get enough exposure on his face.
The best part is that he never swung.
He did.
He took that one looking.
Yeah, no. Oh, no son of mine.
He's actually
buddy.
Looking at a bird that's flying overhead.
Yeah, he's not. This is Photoshopped. No, if I Photoshopped this, I definitely wouldn't have made it like a 9-foot arc that Mama threw to him. But I would have given the heater in the neck, as I do, as I normally do. But then we had a nice little. We'd ridden our bikes to this playground and across a couple of these like huge sort of like farmers' fields and stuff, where there's a bike path through. And we're riding back, and it's just this wonderful light, like this just amazing light. And I'm getting ready to take a picture of my kids riding their bikes, with this beautiful light. And then all of a sudden, this lady that my wife knew, she's friends with her son or something like that, bumped into us and, oh, hey, and she was on her bike. So she decided to, her and her husband are out for a bike ride. Now they're just going to ride with us.
Okay.
And would not leave us alone. And very nice lady, except for here I am trying to get a picture of my kids in the nice setting sun, beautiful golden light. And she is just riding like her front tire on the back of my daughter's rat trap, like just will not get out of the way. At no point will she get more than 6 inches away from my kids. And so it was just kind of an awkward 25-minute bike ride home where I thought, all right, well, I guess we'll take that picture another time.
Right.
So there you go. She's not listening to the show.
Probably not.
I don't think she knows about the show.
Include her name if you would.
I don't know her name.
First and last. And address.
I barely know anybody's name.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
I'm kind of a jerk like that. So anyways, yeah, I'll try to get a sunset picture of my kids and her bike. You know, maybe the next couple of years or something.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. It'll happen.
Fine. All right, photo challenge. This week was last week was two lights. This week you went less.
Last night was two.
Last week was two lights.
Last week was two lights.
I was going to go three, and you wanted to go less. You went with one light.
Oh, yes. I went. Yes, that was the decision, was one light this time.
All right. Let's have a look at your photo then.
Okay.
Here's on point.
This is Sarah. I don't know. Pretty simple. There's a lot of little tricks that go into this. Okay. Before you give me any critique, I'm going to say I love this photo.
Yeah.
I love this photo for so many reasons. Number one,
does she think she's Ken Griffey?
Well, that plus, and that's a Mariners hat. So
is it really
good on you? Yeah, you can only see a hint of the blue turned around backwards on the back, but that is a Mariners hat of Jack's that he got. I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. Anyways, how easy this is, and I'm comparing it the reason I did this kind of photo is that last week we did two lights, and I did sort of a back to school picture of Sarah and of Jack, and I'm thinking of the one I used as the challenge of Jack, and you know, we've got a white paper roll going on, we've got the setup of two lights, there's much more involved in taking that photo, and I argue that this result I like more. Mm-hmm. And that's aside from the fact that this took me about 38 seconds to do. so there's that, plus I actually like the image more, and this is where less is more. And so when we get a challenge in it and we sort of say, okay, we'll use two lights, right? And I think this is our instinct a lot of time, is to sort of think, well, I can do this and this, and the more lights you have, the more options you have. And so as a photographer, we often think, you know, we think big. We have these grand sort of ideas in our mind of what you can do and rim light this and blah, blah, blah. But here's a example for me anyways of why less is more, and why more often than not, if you're going to light, you should figure out ways to do it with one. This is just literally a wall. And I think we've talked about in the past, like how you can use walls, you know, to make for depth, but to change light. So I'm kind of looking down the wall in my room. Mm-hmm. And so I've used the angle, and then I've basically taken that same light. I did it with the same light that I used last week. And I did that again to show how different you can make that light look. And I put this light up and to the camera left. And then I have a grid on that Q-box light. So that's a middle range size softbox, but this time gridded. So the grid allows me to direct the light in a very exact manner so that I can, again, get that gradient background that I want behind her. I really want to keep the light off her. So I basically shut the lights off so that all the light in this scene is basically just for my flash. And then I just feather it in front of her, knowing that really that light is going to stay off of the background. And then I use a relatively low ISO. This is under an ISO 200, I think. And that way I also, because there's no light in the room, I don't need a lot of flash power. And so I can, you know, not blind my subject, but I can also just keep from that wall blowing out. And that's all this is. This is basically grid, use a wall and an angle. If I shoot this straight down, it's going to look very different. If I put her flat against the wall and I shoot towards, it's going to look very different. Mm-hmm. So this gradient is so pleasing to my to the eye, or to my eye anyways, that, and it's so simple to recreate. I think, you know, why do we need three lights or four lights? If you want a portrait that's simple and you've got one light, three-quarter angle to the wall, feather the light across. If you have a grid, use it. If you don't, get one, because it's wildly useful. Just, you know, a Velcro grid that you can put on your softbox, and you're off to the races. If I shoot this with an umbrella, it's a completely different look. Mm-hmm. That light's going to spray everywhere. That wall's going to get evenly lit. And again, you'll still think it's an okay photo, but in comparison to what you get here with one light, people would look at this and think that, oh, that must have been hard work, right?
Mm-hmm. I didn't think
what
that.
What do you think?
No, I think you fumbled.
No, you knew.
You need six more lights.
Yeah, six more lights. Yeah.
You need some lights to light up the lights.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny. I used to joke about the guy who ran my film school. Well, I think since passed away, so, you know, not too soon or anything. But he used to overlight everything, and I used to joke that he used to light the lights, and that got a big kick. Everyone thought that was the funniest thing they'd ever heard. But
that's a line in the Muppets opening song, isn't it?
Probably in different context. Yeah, but he used to just honestly, it was just like unbelievable overlighting. So this is a great example. I think the key here, like you say, the key is the gridded softbox. That is definitely part of it. But I think more importantly is where you point it. Like, you're not pointing the softbox at your subject. You're pointing it kind of in front.
Right.
Now, if you point it right at, you're gonna move that, the wall lighting, you know, a little bit. You'll lose some in front of her, but you'll gain some behind her.
Right.
But you'll also lose the feather effect, which we talked about a long time ago, how to feather your light, use the edge of it. If you use the other feather, angle it away, you're going to get darkness, and she's going to, in front of her, and then it's going to have, you know, much lighter in the background.
And yeah, and if you bring it back, you're also going to get a more dramatic shadow across of her nose. And so by feathering it more in front of her, you also get the benefit of some of that extra bounce that fills in the other side of her face.
True.
So, and there's lots of little things here. And again, I didn't want an overly dramatic look to the shadows either here. I wanted the dramatic kind of light around the subject as opposed to on her actual face. They're still taking a picture of a kid here with a, you know, a nice little smile. And so I really want the image to reflect that. But I love tinkering with the background. And this is where typically in the past I would think of, all right, a light here and a light there and separate them from the background. But that's the beauty of one light. And there's workshops, I mean, specifically dedicated to just all one light. And I'm sure this style of a photo would be included of like, hey, you can do the background and the subject all in one if you put yourself in the right situation.
If you were to add a second light, like camera left and far back, basically with a snoot on it, just hitting her hair, like on very, very, very low power, like 1/128th, if you can do it, you might get a little bit of, you might like the effect. I rarely do it anymore.
Well, and for me, again, the situation is with my kids and this situation in particular. All right, Dad, I'll do this. You've got 3 clicks and 2 minutes. And literally, that was the deal. It was like 3 shots. This is how my kids operate now. 3 shots and 2 minutes. And it's like literally they'll be counting down, right?
Well, so the tables are turned, because when she gets more into it and more, you know, wants to take her own pictures, and you tell her, well, you got two. Yeah. 2 photos and I walk.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of how, I mean, it's getting close to that effect. But I mean, I also want to be done that quick.
Yeah,
and
me too.
That's the beauty of it. So I want this to be over quick. And so when they're trying to negotiate, I'm like, we would already be done if you would just stand there. But now, I mean, I kind of do like that pressure of, I literally will have 3 shots or 2 shots. Jack is usually 2 shot guy. So I mean, if I don't get it right the very first one, my whatever adjustments I make better be bang on the second time, because there won't be a third try.
Right.
So this does make you better, I think.
Yeah. No, I fully agree. All right. Let's look at my photo.
Okay.
Now, the technique here will be our topic today. So before we get to technique, just go with critique. Critique before technique.
I mean, I like it. I don't know what I'm looking at exactly. So there's a bit of confusion here in terms of what's going on, and I did not realize that Emily had a conjoined twin.
Ein Doppelganger.
So I like it. I like the image on the left more than the one on the right. But I certainly like the lighting is pleasing. I like the black and white. I like what she's wearing. I like the separation from the background. I don't know what I'm looking at here. There's more confusion than anything. So,
well, I wanted to go a completely different direction. I didn't know what I wanted to do for one light. I knew I didn't want to do, you know, some crappy wall gradient.
Okay.
No, good
thing you didn't do that.
No. I wanted to do something a little that I hadn't done before, and I had never taken this photo before. It's kind of a throwback to the old double exposures that seemed to be popular in the 70s, I guess, because you could do them. I don't know why you'd want it, but I wanted to have a little fun with it.
Okay.
So that's what I did, and this is one light. That's the thing.
And how many pictures?
One picture.
Okay, so there's a mirror somewhere in here?
No, it's much easier than that. So, all right, let's get into how I shot this week's... That's the topic this week, is how I shot this challenge. Or... Okay.
Anyone who doesn't like your picture can just stop listening.
Well, no, that's funny because this is the first time I tried it. I had a very small window, much like yourself, with your kids, because, you know, she wasn't into it. And so I was trying something new, and I couldn't even shoot a test subject because I needed a voice activated model in order to do this. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wish I would have had maybe, you know, a grown up who would have followed directions a little bit better. She did great. She actually did very, 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 very good. But just a little fine tuning bits, you know. So like, this isn't exactly what I wanted, but pretty close.
Okay.
And so this is one light, one frame, two exposures. So how do you do this? So first off, I'll explain real quick what went on here. I set the camera to a long shutter speed. Like, I think it ended up like 6 seconds was what I needed to go, but you can go longer if you can make it happen.
Okay.
Have a handheld flash, walk around camera right. Once I trip the shutter, flash once on her, walk around in front of the camera, have her turn, and manually click the flash again. And that's how we get the two exposures.
Gotcha. Okay.
A little more to it than that. Like a little bit more too, but that's the general idea. That's how this was achieved. So this is essentially in camera. There's no Photoshop at all whatsoever. There's a little bit of messing around in Lightroom in terms of bringing the black levels down just to make the background disappear. Mm-hmm. Other than that, though, this is pretty much you're doing this in camera, mm-hmm. which is what I like. I don't like doing a lot of messing around later.
Right.
So, how do you do this? First of all, you need a tripod. Absolutely, positively need a tripod. Ultimately, you'll have an assistant, but if you want to do this by yourself, which is kind of how you and I both operate,
yeah,
you can. So you need to lock that tripod down. This was the... use the 5D Mark II and the 85...
50, maybe.
No, I think I might have used the 70 to 200 on this.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember now. Doesn't matter. That part's not that important.
Not important.
So I have to know. Let's assume. Let's
F what? F5.6? F8?
Oh, no. That's the thing.
Because it's long exposure. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so it's a long exposure, but here's the thing is I went and shot in my basement, okay? And so what you want to do is you want to just kill the ambient light. You want no ambient light coming in here because you need this long shutter speed.
Right.
Now, ideally, I would have a shutter speed of like 30 seconds, so that way you could have a little time to maneuver. But this is my kid. She's not, you know, she's asleep at night. So this is the middle of the day. And even in our basement, we have these three big windows that I have blinds over, but they don't kill all the light. So there is some light bleeding in. So I set the ISO at 100, set the aperture at f16.
Okay.
And then that was still going to give me 6 seconds for shutter speed. That's the most I could get away with before I would get some ambient bleeding in.
Okay.
Which is, I kind of wanted like 10 to 15. That's what I tried, but it just wasn't going to happen. So at that setting, now I know I have 6 seconds to trip the shutter, flash, make the flash happen twice, and get out of there. So the handheld flash is bare. Now, I tried it at first. I tried it with an umbrella because I thought, well, I kind of want soft light,
mm-hmm.
right? Two things were working against me. Now, I probably should have used the gridded softbox like you did. But I ended up going with the umbrella. I thought that would be no problem if I get it nice and close. we were not going to get too much spill, but it ended up getting too much spill on the back wall.
Gotcha.
And I wanted her to be kind of against the black.
Right.
And it's not even black. It's like that maroon color that we have downstairs. But it's dark enough that it'll fall off to black. But any light that spills out is gonna expose the background. And you're doing it twice. So the other thing is, so that was the first plan. But I'm at an F-16.
Mm-hmm.
With an umbrella.
Right.
What's my flash set to?
Oh, it's going to be enough to blind your daughter, probably.
It's full power.
Yeah, that's not good.
You have to have it. Well, no, that's okay. She'll blink it out. But the issue is, I have 6 seconds, so I can make that first. I have to make that first shot.
Yeah.
And reposition and
yeah.
At full power, it's not recycling in time for that second shot.
Yeah.
So I would pop it. It would get to about halfway. And then just kind of, and then I'd pop it again, and the second shot would be underexposed.
And you couldn't go. You didn't have any more wiggle room on the aperture.
No.
Like you couldn't go up higher than 16.
Well, higher wouldn't help. Higher.
Well,
22 I'd need more light.
Well, it just mean that you could also give yourself more time.
Oh, right. But at F-16. I was right at the edge of full power. If I went to F-22, I full power wouldn't light her face enough.
Oh, okay.
So that was the thing. That was the parameters. Now you'd get a lot better results from your studio flash.
Right.
Your what do you call it? Your put the Paul Buff one.
Yeah. Yeah. The strobe. Yeah.
So this is a situation, you know, or you could just do it at night when there's zero ambient as it was.
Or do what you ended up doing.
I took that off and went bare flash.
Yeah.
And so when you shoot, you know, 5-year-olds, they have wonderful skin. Hard light doesn't really affect them. Mm-hmm. And it looks pretty good. So I ended up pulling that off and pulling the umbrella off, going to full zoom, 85 mil, because it's the SB28 I had, and got to ramp that down to 1/16th power.
Okay.
Without the umbrella, 1/16th, and the recycle time on that is just instantaneous.
Yeah.
So that no, it's no longer a problem. So that's what I ended up doing.
Cool.
So did the first one, just do a test exposure without doing the multiples. Do the test exposure on the shot on the right hand, the camera right side where she's not smiling. That was the first exposure, and I told her like, don't, you know, smile in one, don't smile in the other. Just because we want to have the sort of the difference. We don't want to have the exact same expression in both photo, in both images.
Right.
So we took that one first, went and checked the camera. Okay, good. That's a good exposure. So if I keep the flash this approximately this far away, it's going to be a good exposure. So that I know when I move to the other side, keep it about the same distance. Now, it ended up getting a little bit closer, as you can see. She's a little bit brighter on the left side than she is on the right. But that's something, if you have an hour with an actual model, you can go ahead and fine-tune that. I did not. I didn't have that.
I think you're onto something here. And where I'm seeing that this could be fun is basically what you've done, but maybe with like 5 or 6 different expression changes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a photo of Sarah, or not sort of a composite photo of a few different photos, or a compilation photo, you know, where we've sort of put it in boxes and the many faces of Sarah when she's little, just kind of like all the different expressions. And I'm thinking maybe there's a photo here where you can put, you know, 4 or 5, like almost different expressions. So happy, mad, sad, excited, all boom, boom, boom. But you'd need the situation of about a 20 count to pull all of those off. And then you'd have to be able to have the flash power low enough to go pop, 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 like in that window. But I think there's a fun thing here.
This is exactly why I posted it. Because at first I thought, okay, this is kind of a throwback to that thing in the 70s that maybe you had this painted on velvet and, you know, and in the round picture frame, no less. You know, and that was popular, and and so this on in itself is more of a gimmick than it is a fantastic piece of art.
Correct.
That's what. Yes. That's where I think about it. But the reason I liked it is because there is potential here, and so I already have a bunch of ideas. Like, you know, maybe I want to shoot outside. Maybe we'll shoot, you know, out in a park at night. Now you have a giant canvas.
Right.
Now you can go ahead and do this if you shoot with a wide angle or you know, what you can walk around. Now, the good part is like, even at 6 seconds, I mean, I walked in front of the lens on this shot. You don't see me.
Right.
Right? I mean, for the most part, there is a little bit of, you know, like in her shoulder, you can see where this double exposure is happening, and I wouldn't put her ear necessarily there, and like little things that, you know, I will work on. But ultimately, this is kind of a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm looking at, and like you say, I think that there's applications here, which again, this isn't the kind of photo you're going to do every week, but maybe once a year as a fun thing. And I also think that there might be some buy-in on your kid or my kid or anybody's kid's part, just in once they see kind of what you're doing. I think they might buy in here because they will never have seen anything like this either.
No, and that was kind of the deal with my daughter. She was really into it because this is one of the very, very few times, aside from never, that I actually let her look at the LCD screen right after the shot, because
right.
she can't fathom what's going on here.
Right.
She still can't. She even saw it and just thought, okay, this looks cool.
Yeah.
You know, but ultimately, you know, moving forward, I will do this in the evening and at night when there's zero ambient light. I will also grab I have a shutter release, like a remote.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't bother grabbing that. So I would use that next time to speed up my process.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't know. I've never tried it. I don't know if I can use that on the bulb setting where I just hold it down, if it'll hold the shutter open, because if that's the case, you would just want somebody to help you out and just hold the shutter down and just leave it open as long as you want until you say stop.
Right.
So the bulb setting could be, you know, 2 minutes if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's zero ambient light and you're at F16, you're not going to get much of anything coming in. And then you can walk around and take your time and position. So as it was, you know, she's in her one spot. I had to have her practice. Like, she doesn't just turn to her right. She has to turn and do a slight shuffle step. Otherwise, there's just too much overlap. Like, her eyes are overlapping each other.
Right.
So, anyways.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. And again, more potential if, you know, maybe shot with a 50mm lens or wider angle.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, the space you could move them around, you could create more of that separation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, do what might take you hours and hours of you know, post editing time in Photoshop in a matter of, like you say, a few minutes. I mean, it might take a little longer the first time to figure out, you know, how you want it to look, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's something fun here. So I'm going to play around with this.
Please do. I like the fact that, like, even if I were to want to Photoshop these two images together, I would never get the hair to look like that.
No, it's a different thing mm-hmm. altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Now, there are other ways. There are cameras that can do this. Like, you can do the in-camera double exposure, and my camera's not one of them. None of my three cameras do this, but I'm kind of happy with this method, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Next week's challenge.
Yeah, do you want to make it this?
We can do this again, if you want.
I mean, we don't have to.
I'll do a variation. I was going to go four lights, but... for real, actually, because we talked about that. But if you, I'll give you a choice. We can do this or four lights.
Let's try this, because okay. I'm interested anyway, so I wouldn't mind playing around and see what happens.
Okay, yeah. Following week's going to be four lights.
Great.
So I don't know what we're calling this. One frame, one light, two exposures. No.
Or more.
Hold on.
I'm going to do more. I'm
one try frame, one frame, one light, multiple exposures.
There you go.
Yeah, what do you call that? 1F, 1L, ME.
That helps.
That's a terrible way to call it.
Thanks for clarifying.
All right, websites. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Awesome. Check my stuff out at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find the links, the photos, everything we just talked about.
Yes.
And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.